We'll get that one. I like it. I think it's got a nice message, nice tune. Revelation chapter 16. We are in Revelation 16. So we're moving our way through Revelation. Revelation chapter 16. I'm going to be starting in verse 8. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. I'm making no promises, but hopefully. Starting in verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it It was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent, so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up, so that the way would be prepared for the kings of the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place that in Hebrew is called Harmageddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great the earthquake was, and so mighty. The great city the great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of wine, the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because the plague was extremely severe. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the advance notice on all of this. Thank you, Lord God, that your word says it. So someday, when people have to go through this, Lord, they will look back and say, oh, yeah, you did know ahead of time. You did plan this out. And it's amazing what the reaction is going to be when they figure that out. But Lord, I thank you so much, Father, that you have given us a way out of any of that. Father, you have sent your Son, Lord God, and when we have the relationship with him through salvation, we're promised to be out of your wrath. Father, we won't be involved with the wrath that's coming upon this world. But instead, we will come with you back, because we'll be raptured out. And then we'll be coming back with you in the second coming. And so we look forward to that. We long for that. So that you will be seen for who you are. Great God. Glorious Father. We love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. As we get into this passage, I want to remind you that John the Apostle wrote the book of Revelation to reveal Christ. And that's the whole theme of the book. Through the vision of Patmos at Patmos, where he was, and the message to the churches. And then we saw the scroll, the fact that no one was worthy except the Lamb who was slain. And he opened that scroll, and there's a title to the universe, but took off the seals, the seven seals that held the scroll, and the seven seals were judgments. And we saw those, and then the worship that came after that, and then the seven trumpets that were judgments upon the earth, and they're continually getting more severe, and we saw that, and then the worship that came after that. But then we saw a vision of the end. John had a vision of the end, and we saw what was going to happen there. So we've come through all of that. The dragon who had the war in heaven and was kicked out of heaven and came to earth and is now against Jerusalem and Israelites and also any believers in Christ. And we were introduced to the beast and the false prophet who are going to be ruling during that time. And then what we saw is the last chance witnesses. The 144,000 are still about the earth trying to reach people for Christ, and they were there at the beginning. But also the angel that goes over the earth and the last ditch effort, giving the gospel to those who hadn't received the mark of the beast, those who hadn't given their worship to the beast and chose the beast as their God. So we've come then to the reapers, the last section where Christ was reaping, and then the angel. The Christ reaping would be the seven bowl judgments, what we're going through right now. And then the angel reaping would be Armageddon, and we'll go through that when we get to chapter 19. But what we have here, what we had last time, was the first three judgments, the first three bowl judgments, the last judgments. The first three were the sores, and then the oceans turned to blood, and then the fresh water turned to blood. Now what we're looking at, we're going to be starting in verse 8, the fourth bowl judgment. And as we get into it, I'll explain just a little bit about the last ones even. But the fourth bowl judgment, starting in verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat. They blasphemed the name of God, who had the power of the plagues. And they did not repent so as to give him glory. So the fourth judgment was the sun. You'll notice here that when the angel poured it out, he didn't pour it out onto the earth. He poured it out onto the sun, and it became fiercely hot. Horribly hot. I mean, we're told that in very descriptive terms here. But what we need to understand is probably for not that long. Just like the oceans turning to blood, the fresh waters turning to blood, most likely it didn't happen for that long. Remember, we're in probably the last weeks or months, but most likely the last weeks of the tribulation. And these judgments, I think, are coming hard and fast. They come very hard, very harsh, and they're getting worse as they go, but they come very fast. And some of them don't last very long, because the oceans turning to blood and the fresh water turning to blood, if that stayed that way, then everybody would die. Not only that, but if you go down to verse 12, we can see that on that judgment, the sixth judgment, it says the angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up. So by that time, the blood has become water again. So we don't know exactly how long, but it's very harsh when it happens, and it's for however long it happens. And so now, the fourth judgment, the sun was exceedingly hot, exceedingly bad, would burn everything, scorched with fire. But most likely it's not for very long, because the next judgment is going to be darkness. The next one? Yes, next judgment will be darkness. But that scorching heat will be so bad that I believe many people are going to die because of this. And what's amazing about this is you look at verse 9, they were all scorched so bad and so harsh, so hard, and yet their reaction, they knew who it was who was doing this. They knew who had power. You look at that, it says they blaspheme the name of God who has the power over the plagues. They knew who was causing this. Either because they had found it in the Word, they knew about the Word or whatever, but they knew that God was in control, and yet they blasphemed His name. The word blaspheme means to revile or to slander or to defame. There was no remorse. There's no glory given to God because He is so powerful. There's no respect given to God, and especially there's no repentance. When it says it, they did not repent. Repentance means you're going down the road, and if you repent, then you turn 180 degrees and go the other way. That's repentance. But they wouldn't do that. They didn't do that, even though they knew, even though they had a great sign. This is a huge sign. Remember the rich man and Lazarus? And the rich man died. He was in hell. He lifted up his eyes, and he wanted Abraham to send Lazarus with just to test some water and touch his tongue. And then he finally said, well, look, can you send Lazarus back to tell my brothers so that they don't have to come here? That would be a huge sign. Somebody rising from the dead. That would be a wonderful... And Abraham said, no, it doesn't work that way. They have the truth. They have the word. Well, these people here have the truth. And even the great signs, the huge signs, doesn't change a hard heart. You realize that? Even though they knew who it was, the great signs, it will not change a hard heart. Look at the next one, verse 10. The fifth bowl. It's darkness. When the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. Same thing. Same things happen. The next judgment is darkness, but this darkness isn't like the darkness we understand. Darkness is an absence of light. Absence of light, right? Guess what? This darkness hurts. This darkness is huge painful. It says they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. So somehow this darkness produces pains and sores. And if you look at verse 11, I believe it says, it talks about the sore. Their pains and their sores. They blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. So again, the reaction to the fact that they know that God is in control is to blaspheme God. It's not to repent. It's not to change anything. It's to call out God and blaspheme his name and resist him. So they have the same reaction. Isn't that amazing? And I'll get to this. I want to get to this. I want to touch on this later. But this reaction is common with all of these. Even though they know that God is in control, even though they know who God is, yet their reaction to God is to blaspheme his name. Look at the next judgment, the sixth bowl judgment. Look in verse 12. Now this is when we look at it and we say, well, is this really a judgment? The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way would be prepared for the kings of the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, well, let's wait on that, because this is why, all right? So we'll get to that. But so the sixth bowl judgment was upon the river Euphrates. Now, the river Euphrates it was found all the way back in the Garden of Eden. It was talked about all the way back there. So it's been there a long time. And the river Euphrates starts in the mountains of Turkey, and it flows down into wherever it empties into. I read it, but I can't remember it. But anyway, it flows down and empties somewhere. So, but it's a huge river at that point. And it says it dried up. You're thinking, well, you know, we've already had sores, we've already had blood, we've already had, this fierce heat and this darkness. What's the matter with a river drying up? That doesn't seem to be so bad. Well, most likely at that point, that river is going to be flooded. Going to be huge and flooded. Why? Because when the scorching heat came, guess what that does to the snow and the ice and all? Coastal areas are going to flood. Coastal areas are going to be terrible. So all of this is just messing with people's minds really bad. I mean, it's just blowing their minds. Everything is so bad at this point. But we're coming down. Remember, we're coming down to the last few weeks of the tribulation. In fact, the seventh judgment is going to show a whole lot. But why is this one so bad? Well, because with the huge flooding, with the fact that the oceans turned to blood, the rivers turned to blood, that would have completely messed up. Well, it's already killed all of the marine life, but it also would have completely messed up any boats, any engines that are going through there. So how is the army supposed to get over? How is the army supposed to get there quickly? I mean, you can fly them in a little at a time. But if the river Euphrates dries up, then all the kings of the east can come right across. And that's exactly why. So God in his providence, it seems like it's not such a bad sign, but in essence it's one of the worst because it's setting up the armies of the world for destruction. It's a harsh judgment. It's going to cause a lot of destruction. And here's why. Look at verse 13. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs. Right? Now, when it says out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, how many are that? It's three, right? It's the unholy trinity rather than the holy trinity. Why? Why? Well, what is Satan's goal? Again, Satan's goal is to be like the Most High God. And what is God like? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So Satan has the dragon, the beast, the false prophet. And out of their mouths come these unholy spirits, which is demons. We find out in the next verse. Look at the next verse. Verse 14. And they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them together for the war of the great day of God, the Almighty. So they're spirits that go out and deceive. They have fake power or they have real power, whatever it is, they can perform miracles or at least seem to perform miracles. Why? So that all the kings of the earth are going to believe them, say, hey, let's do it. I mean, we're following the beast already, and then they have the mark of the beast, most all of them. And any of them in the armies are going to have the mark of the beast. So, the beast, Satan is in charge. This is his kingdom now. So Satan has got what he wanted. He has his trinity. He has rule over the whole earth. He has everything but power, but true power. Because when everything happens, when bad things happen, what do the people do? They blaspheme the true God. They blaspheme God. So he still doesn't have that full, he has worship, force worship. The false prophet forces people to worship and bow down to an image of the beast. Right? So he is lining this up to where he's in charge, and the only thing left is to go take everybody he can, go against God, go against Christ at his coming. And that's going to happen. And you look down in verse 16, and they gathered them together in the place which is in Hebrew called Harmageddon. Harmageddon. This is the great war, the great day of God. Harmageddon is what we get our word Armageddon from. But Harmageddon is the Valley of Megiddo. The Valley of Megiddo. Now, when we were in Israel, we went up there. We went up to Megiddo. The Megiddo is on a hill. It's on a hill. And it's a flat area, and they have Solomon's stables up there. They have a whole bunch of, I don't know if Solomon's stables, but it's stables up there. Anyway, it's a flat area, but over 200 wars have been fought right there since then, since beginning of time. Over 200. It's such a vital area, but it overlooks the Valley of Jezreel. And the Valley of Jezreel is the fertile valley, a fertile crescent there in Israel. It's about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Beautiful area. They grow everything there. But that valley is where the blood is going to run up to the horse's bridle. That valley is where all of the armies of the earth are going together. That's Armageddon. That's the Valley of Armageddon. That's what's going to happen there. Right? So that's where they're gathering up. But they have to get there. And they get there through that river, Euphrates, through the Euphrates River drying up. But these unclean spirits go out, these demons, and they have falsified signs, whatever it takes to get all the armies there to fight against God. And remember, the people are blaspheming God anyway. So they're right on board. But in the middle of all this, look at what it says. Before I do that. In Joel chapter 3. Remember, all of this has been prophesied for thousands of years. God had all this planned out for a long time. Joel chapter 3, it says, I will gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, Jezreel. And I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. And they have divided up my land. That was verse 2. And verses 9 on, it says, proclaim this among the nations. Prepare a war. Rouse the mighty men. Let all the soldiers draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am a mighty man. Hasten and come, all you surrounding nations, and gather yourselves here. Bring down, O Lord, your mighty ones. Let the nations be aroused and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat, for I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Remember the reaper, the angel who is the reaper? Come tread, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. And then there's one in Zechariah and one in Psalm that I'm not going to read. But all of this was prophesied. And did you notice how it's God saying, come on, do it. Come on, let's do this. I made a way for you to do this. I'm inside. But yet it's the false prophet. It's those demons that are going out and inciting them. So isn't it amazing that Satan is saying, yeah, I'm going to go out and incite. We're producing these demons. We'll get you these demons that go out and incite the people that come up against God. But in the background, thousands of years before, it's God who says, I'm going to incite them. I'm going to make a way for them to come up. I am going to sit in judgment on them. You know what I really didn't understand until I really got to study in this? The Battle of Armageddon, I don't know if it's going to take just minutes or maybe a few hours. I don't know. It's going to be a very quick battle. A very quick battle. And it's going to be over quickly. And we'll find that out when we get to chapter 19. Don't want to really belay that. But that valley of, or that army, that battle right then is going to be very quick. Because Christ is going to win dramatically, very quickly. But I want you to look at verse 15, because right in the middle of all this, he throws this verse in here. It said, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk in nakedness and men will not see his shame. It says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Now, who's he talking to here? Well, I believe he's talking to, I gotta find it. Here we go. God's provision here for those who are believing during that time. In the middle of all this chaos, he says, and he's talking about the armies here, so he's using kind of a soldier approach. He says, I'm coming like a thief. When does a thief come? When you're distracted, when you're asleep, when you're not thinking about it. That's when a thief wants to be there. So you're not ready for them. He says, stay on the alert. He says, blessed is the one who stays awake, keeps his clothes. And remember, we're talking about in the soldier context. He says, blessed is the one who's awake and alert and keeps his clothes. So what clothes are we talking about because I believe he's talking about the believer here. He's talking about those who are saved during that time and believing. The clothes he's talking about is the righteousness of God, salvation. It's those who have trusted Christ, those who have followed what the 144,000 said or for what the angel said, the gospel. So they are clothed with the righteousness of God. What does Scripture say? Christ became sin for us so that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. It says, clothe yourself with righteousness. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God. Breastplate of righteousness. Belt of truth. You have everything that is from God. Everything, that's what we are clothed. He says, blessed is the one who is clothed with that. Blessed is the one who's awakened, who's ready for all that. How are they going to be awake and ready for all that? By knowing what it says. Right? Because it's here. Because the truth is here. Even during that time, the truth will be here. They'll be able to see. And he says, you won't be walking around in your shame. In other words, you won't be walking out without Christ, walking around without Christ. You'll be with him. You'll be in him. So right there, in the midst of all that problems, he uplifts that. Look at verse 17. I want to go on and look at the the seventh judgment. Verse 17. Here we go. The seventh bowl. It says, then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air. See that? It's not on the ground. Again, just like the fourth one was on the sun, all the rest were on the ground. But this one here is in the air. And what happens? A loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, it is done. It is done. So when the seventh angel poured out his bowl, that's the last judgment to happen. But it's massive judgment. It's a huge one. You see, these are getting progressively worse. And I've come to believe that the bowl judgments happen in order very quickly at the end of the tribulation. I thought maybe they were correlated with the other judgment. I don't think so. I think very quickly they will come and they hit very hard. Some of them don't last, like the blood or the sun, but they come. When they come, they are very harsh. But this one is the worst. But in the midst of that, look what it says. The voice came out in verse 17. The voice came out of the temple. Remember, God is in the temple, and nobody can come into it because of the smoke that comes from it. We learn that from the bowl judgments. And that voice, which his God's, says, it is done. Now, what was one of the sayings on the cross that Jesus said? It is finished. The last thing he said, it is finished. What was finished? The work of salvation. It was completed. Well, what is done here? It's because it's much, much the same. What is it that's done that God says, it's done? What? The tribulation. He's talking about the judgments. The judgments are now done, completed, because this is the last one. And what happens after this is that Christ returns, okay? So he's come to the very last one, but we got to see this. Look at verse 18. And there were flashes, these are the judgments. There were flashes of lightning, sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as never since the man has came to be upon the earth. So great the earthquake it was, and so mighty. So we have lightning and thunder, and we have an earthquake that is worse than any that has ever been. Any that has ever been. It's very descriptive here. And that earthquake is going to reshape the world. Look what it says in verse 19. The great city, which would be Jerusalem, I can show you that later, but the great city is Jerusalem, split into three parts. And the cities of the nations fell. So there's all the other cities fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God and given the cup of the wrath, the wine of his wrath, his fierce wrath, fierce wrath. So all the cities, including Babylon, are going to be destroyed with this earthquake. Completely destroyed. But Jerusalem is going to be broken into three parts, and guess what? It's not destroyed. This isn't a judgment on Jerusalem. This is a judgment on those who are following the beast. It's not a judgment. In fact, in Jerusalem, it's not going to be destroyed. It'll be broken into three parts, most likely on a hill, lifted up. Look at what it says in verse 20. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. So in other words, this earthquake is going to flatten the earth. But Jerusalem will probably be the highest place on earth at that point, broken into three parts. But the rest of the whole earth is going to be flat. So it's going to be just like it was at creation. You realize that? At creation, I believe the whole world was flat and there was no ocean between. The ocean was around it. It wasn't broken off into sections like it is now. I believe the flood caused that. And I think you can see it, that there's, anyway, you look at the continents, you can put them all back together. It's almost like a big jigsaw puzzle that went apart, and now you can put it all back. But I believe God's going to do that. And it's all going to be like it was before the fall, all right? And Christ is going to come and rule from the earth. We're going to learn about that millennial kingdom. But all of this earthquake, all of these things that are going on, going to completely destroy a lot of the earth, and it's going to refashion the earth. But look at the last part. Look at verse 21. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. Huge hailstones. So whoever is left after the blood, after the scorching heat, after the darkness, after the lightning and thunder and the Battle of Armageddon, because we're going to be talking about the Battle of Armageddon later, but that's going to happen before this. Whoever is left, or will it happen before this? Maybe not. Anyway, we haven't got there yet. Don't quote me on that. But in all of this, people are going to die. Massive amount of people are going to die. You know what the largest recorded hailstorm is? 2 pounds. 2 pounds. That's the largest ever recorded. So can you imagine 100 pounds? I mean, that hailstorm we had in 2019 that beat up everything so bad. I went in 2 barns, metal barns that had holes in the roof from the hailstorm, and that was baseball at least. What's 100 pounds gonna do, right? And think about this: all of the cities are destroyed, the world is flat. Where are you gonna hide? There's gonna be no caves. There's gonna be no buildings. There's gonna be no place to hide from 100-pound hailstorms. And so you would think at this point, people would say, okay, God, okay, I repent. I was wrong. What do they say? Look at the end. And men blaspheme God because of the plague of the hail, because the plague was extremely severe. Men blasphemed God again and again and again. So the response is to do that. It's so important for us to accept truth when we see it in the Word. When we see it in the Word. If God is showing you truth in the Word, accept it. Believe it. Follow it. There are people. These people at this time have already chosen their leader, and they are going to hate the true God. But guess what? That's like what's happening even now. People even do that today because they know God is in charge. And in that day, they know he's in charge. They know he has the power to stop this. What happens today? Well, people end up hating God because they can't control him, because they cannot tell him what to do or what not to do. Isn't that amazing? But they do. That's why people don't acknowledge God today until they have problems. And then they pray, and God doesn't answer the way they want. God doesn't give them an easy life. God doesn't give them a wealth of money. So what do? They turn their back on God. Blaspheme God. They don't repent of what they're doing, of who they are following. Instead, they blame God for all of that, for not giving them what they want. It's the same problem that Satan has. Same problem that Satan had. What did he want? He wanted to be like God. Guess what that is? It's called pride. Pride. Okay? That's the hearts of people, is pride. And guess what? We even deal with that pride from time to time. But you know, what we need to understand is, number one, to keep from going through this time, we need to have salvation. We need to know that we belong to Jesus Christ. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can have a relationship with him where you will be raptured. You won't even be going through this time if it does happen in our lifetime, because he'll already be home. But you'll be coming back with him, which is really cool. But even so, during that time, when people wake up to this during that time, instead of blaspheming the God who's in charge, they need to follow the God who's in charge, which is going to be shown by 144,000 witnesses plus all sorts of people who get saved. It's going to be shown. But if you've never trusted Christ, I would invite you today to start a relationship with him and then to develop that relationship. I love that word. Russ used it this morning. Develop that relationship all of your life. Grow in Jesus Christ. Trust God. If you have trusted him, if you know that you have salvation, you're not going to be going through what they will. But it's here. It's absolutely true because God gave it to us in his word. God's word is true. And so it's here, and we know that it will happen. But keep trusting him. Trust the God who loves you, who sent his son as a lamb, spotless lamb, and yet he was slain. But that lamb is going to rule over the nations, you know. all of this world is going to change. It's going to look a lot different during that time. It's going to usher in the millennial kingdom. But we can today trust him. I've had folks, and when I used that illustration before of people who end up blaspheming God, I've had folks come to me and say, well, I tried praying, but it still didn't happen. So my word is God. And if God doesn't follow my word, then he's just not good enough. You see where that is? That's pride. That's where Satan was. That's where Satan is, I should say. Right? So it happens. I've had talked to people like that. But we as Christians, we trust God. But you know what? Oftentimes we say, but God. I love that. Billy Goat Christianity. But God. Why? Because you're not doing it the way I think you should do it. But you know what? We can still trust God in this. Because I look at the whole tribulation, and that's not what I would do. I mean, that's just, you know, that seems rather harsh. But you know what? That is going to be the greatest time of revival the world has ever seen. There's going to be more people come to Christ. Because God is in charge. But there's going to be a lot of people who choose to follow Satan, and those people are going to blaspheme God rather than repent. Why? Because they have chosen who they will follow. Question, have you chosen whom you are following? Who you will follow? Because if you are following Christ, you take his word and you learn it, study it, and follow it. Believe what it says. It is absolute truth, and follow what it says. And then he will allow you to go through struggles. He will allow you to go through problems. Why? To discourage you? No. To get you to trust in him more. So often, something really bad happens. Who do we run to? God. We have nowhere to go. We turn to God. That's why he allows us to have nowhere to go sometimes. So we actually turn to him. Trust him. He absolutely loves you. This stuff is going to happen. We can warn people, we can strive to help people understand there's a way out. It is going to happen. And as much as we hate looking at it, we are blessed if we read it. We are blessed if we study it. Because we know the truth, and that truth sets us free. Let's set some other folks free. Give them out the truth. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for showing us that there will be an end to the judgments. And that when that end comes, you yourself will say, it is done. The judgments are done. And Father God, after that will come your millennial kingdom. Which, amazing as it sounds, with Christ ruling on the earth, it's going to have problems. But Lord, it's because of this flesh. It's because of the pride, it's because of the selfishness that we're born into. And Father, as we as Christians, as we develop in our Christian life, Father, we still struggle with this flesh, this remnant of sin in us that says, I want what I want when I want it. And you ought to follow my advice, God. That is one of the dumbest things we can say. And yet, we don't really say it, we just think it. Help us, Father, to trust you. Help us to know that you could cause all sorts of mayhem, and you will at one point, but you haven't yet, because you want people to come to Christ and because you want us to be trusting in you even more. Help us grow in your faith. The faith that you have given us, help us to grow. We love you. In Christ's name, amen.